Welcome to Twin Cities Theater Chat. This podcast is created by members of the Twin Cities Theater Bloggers to share our love of theater, promote theater going, and support our theater community. My name is Carol Jackson, and I write for Minnesota Theater Love. On today's podcast, we are doing a recommends episode. The theater season is in full swing, and so our bloggers are busy off seeing tons of shows, and so we have lots of shows to tell you about. Oh, you know what? I'm going to tell you who's on the podcast today. It is me, of course. It is my co-blogger, Julie Jackson of Minnesota Theater Love, Rob Dunkelberger of The Stages of Minnesota, Jill Schaefer of Cherry and Spoon, and Erica Scarlett of Lettered in Theater. Welcome, y'all. So we're going to start off today and talk about Theater Latida's new show, Falsettos, which just opened this weekend. Jill, do you want to kick things off?
Sure. I was there opening nights. You've heard me talk about Falsettos a couple times. I mentioned it on our season preview episode, and I mentioned I was looking forward to it. So I went in with pretty high expectations, and I was not disappointed. The last time I saw the show was on tour at the Ordway, which I loved, but it's really an intimate story. And there's only five actors in the first act, plus two more in the second. So it's an intimate story that I think is better suited to a small stage like the Ritz. What I love about this musical is it's not sort of a typical musical with a typical structure. It's entirely sung through. And it's really more character driven, although the characters are dealing with some things like divorce, the child's bar mitzvah, which is stressful. It deals with the early days of the AIDS crisis. And it's really about how this chosen family gets through it together. So it's a messy and complicated story that feels very real and relatable. The seven-person cast is just incredible. A lot of people we've seen and loved on stage for many years. Sasha Andreev, Max Wotanowicz, Serena Brooke, who was so funny in Pajama Game this summer, and she sings this sort of iconic song, I'm Breaking Down, and she's hilarious and tragic at the same time. Eric Morris is playing the psychiatrist. A high school sophomore named Sam Mandel plays the son, and he is just adorable and totally holds his own amongst these professional actors. Then in the second act, we get to meet the lesbians next door, who are played by Sheena Jansen Kelly and Sarah Masterson, who I think is new to town, but everyone else is a familiar face, and they're all so incredible. There's a line in the show about a teeny tiny band, and it is teeny and tiny. It's a four-piece band led by Jason Hansen on piano, and they're behind the wall in the first act. In the second act, they're revealed, so we get to watch them a little bit too. It's a very cool sort of color block set. It's set in the 70s and 80s, so there's some period touches too, and it's just, the whole thing is just gorgeously done. It's very funny and moving, and I recommend that. It's playing through November 5th at the Ritz Theater Northeast. We have plenty of time, but Theater Latida does tend to sell out shows, so don't wait too long.
I was going to pop in and say how much I love Falsettos as well. Jill has been talking it up for quite some time, and I walked into that show almost completely blind. I didn't know much about the show. I knew Latida was doing it, and I knew the cast, and that's about it. And I am one of the preview subscribers, which I always really enjoy. It's a different energy in the audience, which is always really fun. I tend to sit amongst a lot of the understudies, so it's fun to like chat with them about their experience with the show and being the understudy. And it's such an interesting show. Julie did a great job explaining all the highlights. Serena Brooke, I mean, her song is by far my favorite in that first act at the I'm Breaking Down. And it's a lot more of a roller coaster than I thought it was going to be with that show and the topics covered and that chosen family, like you said. And it's really enjoyable. I'm glad I was able to see it, and I also recommend it.
I'm seeing it next week, and I'm excited. I'm going to begin a theme here that's been carrying out through the last 6 months, I think. I've never seen Falsettos, which I know is insane. I don't know how I'm qualified to write a theater blog not having seen Falsettos before, but I'm going to correct that based on what you guys are saying. I'm really looking forward to it.
I am super excited because I just realized that Max Wotanowicz and Sheena Jansen Kelly are in a show together. And if you have not attended their magical Musical Mondays, which take place at Lush Bar on, I think it's the first Monday of nearly every month in their cabaret, they are absolutely a treat. They have a fantastic, lovely energy, and they invite performers from musical theater around the Twin Cities to come and do selections from shows that they love, or maybe they've never been in, and you really have the opportunity to see some stunning performances, and they are just delightful, a delightful pair. So that's very exciting.
It is, Carol. I thought of that too when I was watching it, knowing their history and their BFFs. They wrote an original musical about their friendship called Fruit Fly that was at the Fringe years ago. And so to see them together, there's a four-person song called Unlikely Lovers, which is just gorgeous. And the two of them are there like looking at each other singing, and it just melted my heart knowing their history. So yeah, that's fun too.
Next up, we have a play that just opened this weekend at Pillsbury House Theater. It's a co-production with Exposed Brick Theater, and that is called Passage, and it's played by Christopher Chen, which, Julie, you're going to tell us a little bit about that?
So Passage is a different kind of show. It tackles some really big themes, colonialism and the relationships between people who are in positions of power politically and not, particularly based on where they're from. But in Passage, Christopher Chen, the playwright, doesn't write about particular countries. He writes about country X and country Y. So it's best to go in not trying to imagine any particular country when you see this, because it's more of a universal thought. It's more of a universal story, and it's more personal in that what's really important in Passage is the relationships between the different characters and how they change based on both their positions and their personalities. And it's a really engaging and interesting and very thought-provoking show. It's running at Pillsbury House and Theater. It's 110 minutes without intermission, and it's running through October 15th. So there's still time to see it. And if you do see it, I recommend you bring someone who likes to talk about what they've just seen, because it's a very thought-provoking show. Anyone else have anything to share about Passage?
Yeah, I saw that show with you and Carol. And what I loved about it is it started in a really unconventional way, where all the actors introduced themselves as themselves, where they're from, where they live, a little bit about themselves. And so that just sort of set everything at ease and just kind of brought us all into the story. And I would also recommend going on one of the nights when they have a post-show discussion, because Pillsbury House has the best post-show discussions, because they invite somebody from a community organization that relates to the theme of the play. So it's not just about the play, it's about how the play sort of manifests itself in our lives.
Yeah, I saw actually a preview of it. I was really blown away. I'd never been in that theater before. So first of all, I really enjoy that space. It's a very intimate space. I think it holds about 100 people at the top end. I was impressed, because usually a theater of that size, you're expecting a pared down production, but I thought the lighting and the sound design were fantastic in this, and the set really surprised me. Things happened with that as it opened up and changed. A lot of times they're using the same pieces and moving them around, adding something to them. Sometimes that can come off as clunky, but in this, it just felt like it flowed. It was almost like a meditative moment as they changed the scene. And I really, really dug it. I thought it was a fantastic show.
I wholeheartedly agree. The lighting was fantastic. The sound was fantastic. And also the costumes were wonderful. You know, you've got basically characters who are only identified by an initial, and the actors, you know, play different characters from different countries, whether it's country X or country Y. The way that they utilize clothing to depict sort of the characteristics and also maybe, you know, something related to which country they're a denizen of, it was just so beautifully done and felt so timeless. And I also want to call out James Williams, aka J-Dub, because he was sort of the spiritual leader in the play, and he's just so engaging. And it would be hard to think of anyone else in that role.
Yeah, you know, I said in my review, I think this production might ruin me for future productions of this play, because I thought this cast was so phenomenal that every cast after this is going to be compared to it. And I don't see how anybody'd measure up.
And we did do a podcast with the co-directors, Susie Messerl and Sydney Herriday, who pointed out something which was apparent, it made a lot of sense when we saw the show, which is that none of the actors in the show identify exclusively as white. So there isn't a feeling of, oh, this person is white, so they must be the oppressor, or this person is of color, so they must be this. It's really an outstanding cast. They did a really great job of casting it. It's a combination of people that we've seen before, I think, and some that we haven't, but I hope that we see all of them a lot in the future.
Yeah, and I'd just like to say that was a great podcast. If you haven't listened to it yet, go back and listen to it and go see that show.
Of course, I heartily third that recommendation to listen to the podcast. Our next show is one that Erica saw, and I think she's the only one who saw this one so far, but it is Cookin' at Children's Theater. Erica, tell us about it.
Yes, I was able to head over to CTC to see Cookin' a couple weeks ago, I think, at this point. It was so fun. Cookin' follows the story of four frenzied chefs who are on this tight deadline to get a big meal prepared for a wedding, is the whole premise of the show. And from that, chaos ensues. There's food flying, there's puppetry, there's martial arts, it's just chaos on stage in the most beautifully choreographed way. The five people on stage, incredibly talented in what they do. And it's like a mix between like a hibachi, dinner experience, with stomp, with a puppet show, with it's just a little bit of everything. And they recommend it for kids of all ages. And I tend to be able to tell about that 45-minute mark for kids. Kids get restless, and I can tell pretty well when you get to that moment. And I didn't with this show. There were some really younger, really little kids around me, and they were fully engaged the whole time. A ton of audience participation, multiple moments where they pull people onto stage and you get to be part of it, either cooking the food or trying the food or different things. So it was very fun. The kid next to me was like crying with laughter. She had so much fun. So it was just, a joyful time all the way through, and something, I think, a little unique for that stage, which was fun to see, I'm newer to seeing all the CTC shows. I do know this was a super fun show, and I'd recommend it for all kids for something fun, and you'll go home inspired to cook something new. I came home and made a stir fry because it just felt right to go home and chop my own vegetables. And that's running through October 22nd. So you still have some time to get out and see that one.
That sounds great. I have that booked for this weekend, and I wasn't sure about it, but after listening to what you were saying, I think I'm kind of pumped for it now. So what I want to recommend this week is a show that we sort of had a mini Twin Cities Theater Bloggers meetup last night at Bryant Lake Bowl. And we saw the almost complete and mostly accurate history of alcohol. It's a 90-minute sketch show. I think I laughed for about 90 minutes straight. Normally, when you go to a sketch show, it's hit and miss. Some things work, some things don't. And it's fine, because if something's not working for you in 3 minutes, something else will. I can't remember a sketch that didn't work in this production. The other thing I find a lot is a couple of the cast members outshine the others. This entire cast was just so much fun. I thought they all did an excellent job. They all had moments to shine. I do just want to mention the cast because they were so incredible. It's Josh Carson, Kelsey Laurel Kramer, Talia B. Kosman, who does a phenomenal mime routine or something, which was completely unexpected and just kind of wowed me. It was like watching Buster Keaton do something up there. It was fantastic. Thomas Matthias, Neil Skoy, and power couple Allison and Leslie Vincent. And Leslie gets a couple opportunities to sing, and that's always a treat. So I had a blast with it. Erica and Jill, what'd you guys think?
I enjoyed it too. There is a little bit of history. It's not, as it says, super accurate, but they do go back into, ancient Greece and Prohibition. And there's even a bachelorette party in Salem, which is really wild. So there's a little bit of a history into it too, not too much to bore you, but just to sort of set the scene of these different eras of and the way alcohol has played a part in our lives throughout history. So tiny bit informative and very also funny and entertaining.
Yeah, I will echo that. I agree. I probably laughed the whole 90 minutes through. So many good moments. I came home and was telling everybody, what they missed, really. trying to get my roommate to go back and maybe see it with me another time. But that cast, phenomenal. I've seen them all separately in things. So together, they were just a powerhouse. The physical comedy with that dance moment. And I always enjoyed Neil Skoy's performance in things for his physical comedy and clowning. And there's just so much of it. The joy of Bryant Lake Bowl, for those who haven't been, is that little theater. I mean, they took over the whole space, running in and out from the sides, up and down the stairs. I mean, they take over that whole area. And it's just so entertaining that there's a good give and take with the audience, that you really feel like you're part of what they're doing on stage. And I really enjoyed it. Would highly recommend that one too.
Yeah. So that's running. It's got three more performances, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7 p.m. The doors open at 6 p.m. so that you can go and get the best seats and order dinner and have dinner while you're there and drinks. And if you are a non-drinker like I am, they have a nice selection of NA beers and things as well. So there's lots to enjoy there. I think it's a perfect place to make a night of it, catch up with old friends, see a show, have some laughs and some pretty tasty food.
So our next section of this podcast is devoted to shows that we are really looking forward to. And Rob's going to start us off on that one.
Yeah, I'm seeing this Friday at Yellow Tree Theater, The Rats and the Wasp's Nest. It's a double feature of One Acts by Agatha Christie, who I'm a huge fan of. I took a night off of the theater on last Friday and went and saw Kenneth Branagh's new Hercule Poirot film, A Haunting in Venice, and loved it and highly recommended that as well for people. But that got me in the mood, so I'm all pumped up for some more Agatha Christie. In fact, one of the two plays features Hercule Poirot, so that's going to be exciting. They're one acts, and I'm not familiar with them, so I'm not going to try and give the plots away. If you're an Agatha Christie fan, you know what you're getting into. You love it, and you're going to have a great time. And that one is running. It opens on September 29th, and it closes on October 29th at the Yellow Tree Theater, which is in Osseo. It's a great little theater. It needs your support. These theaters out on the suburbs, they serve a purpose for people who are out there who are maybe afraid to come into the city to see theater. They get turned on by theater. They'll venture in a little closer and stuff. It's also nice for those of us who go to the theater a lot but kind of stay in the city. Branch out. Go out to Osseo. Go out to Anoka. There's some great theater going on out there, and I really encourage everybody to just kind of expand their base and show these theaters some love, because we don't want to lose them like we did Dalico. Jill, what do you got coming up on your plate that you're looking forward to?
Yeah, thanks, Rob. First of all, I love Yellow Tree too. I've been going there for, I don't know, 10 or 12 years, and they just have a sweet little intimate space in a strip mall, really cozy lobby. So I recommend making the not very long trip out to Osseo for that. And I'm looking forward to seeing a play by Theater Pro Rata, which is a company that only does maybe two or three shows a year. But everything they do is really interesting, and they're always really well done. And the play they're doing now is called Bernhardt/Hamlet. And it's about the actress Sarah Bernhardt, who I actually don't know that much about, but in 1899, she set out to play Hamlet, which of course is a traditionally male role. So I assume this is historically based. So I'm hoping to learn a little bit about Sarah Bernhardt. And I love the idea of a woman playing Hamlet. And I look forward to seeing that. It's at the playing at the Crane Theater in Northeast Minneapolis, September 29th through October 14th. So couple of weeks there to see that. And Carol, what are you going to see?
I am an opera fan, so I'm looking forward to a new opera that is going to be produced by Journey North Opera Company. They are going to be performing at the Southern Theater, and it's a new opera by Nico Muley, and new opera is always interesting. It's always fun to see the chances that new opera makers are taking these days. Dark Sisters is an opera which is about a couple of women trying to escape their lives in the fundamentalist Latter-day Saints Church, which is a sect that split from Mormonism in the early 20th century, largely because of the LDS's church renunciation of polygamy. There have been some very infamous raids that have occurred on FLDS compounds. And that is what this opera is inspired by. And one of the cool things about this production is that they have 14 local artists in this opera, 12 of whom are women or non-binary singers. So they are really working to create gender parity in opera, which is super awesome. That is going to take place, as I said, at the Southern Theater. And it is running from September 28th through October 1st. So really, it's just a quick weekend. Erica, what are you looking forward to?
Yeah, so what I'm looking forward to, I'm maybe a little biased about because I do work for the History Theater, but I'm really excited for the show that's kicking off our season, The Boy Wonder. It's a new contemporary musical about Harold Stassen, who I knew nothing about before they announced the season, or before we announced the season. So I've had a lot of fun researching him more. He was elected as the Minnesota's governor in 1938 at the age of 31. And from then on, a newspaper dubbed him as The Boy Wonder, the boy governor, and spent a lot of time kind of fighting that persona. But he went on to, you know, be part of the group that chartered the United Nations. He did so many incredible things in his career, including running for presidency 9 times, which he, no spoilers, but he didn't win a presidency. But it's such a fun musical, and the cast is super fun. And every day I get the stage manager report, kind of a fun behind the scenes. The stage manager sends a note every night about what's changed. It's a new work, so something's changing. The script is altering. Music is coming together, and it's so fun to see that happen. And the music is so catchy and so fun, and I am beyond excited to welcome people into the History Theater to see that show. It opens October 7th. October 5th and 6th, there are previews that are $20 in advance, or you can pay what you can performances, which is a great way to come to a show at whatever cost works best for you. But it runs all of October, and I'm overjoyed about welcoming people to the History Theater for that one.
Keith Hovis, can we take this opportunity to just fan out a little bit about Keith Hovis and what a fantastic talent he is? And I do kind of think of him as our boy wonder here.
Yeah, and it's so fun that he, in addition to being an artist, has worked in like the government sector for the last 12 years. So he's worked in various roles in government, working for mayors and governors and various commissioners and all these things. It's very, very fun to see this show as kind of his two worlds on stage. So, all right. And let's see, Julie, what are you recommending?
Well, I'm excited about Boy Wonder too, being a big fan of Keith Hovis, and it sounds really great. The other show that I'm looking forward to is Collide Theatrical Dance is bringing back their production of Gatsby, which is of course based on The Great Gatsby. Collide is a theater that, as they say in the name, they're a theatrical dance company. So the dance tells the story. And I think the combination of the 1920s Gatsby era and what Collide can do is bound to be really great. I didn't see it the last time it was on, so I'm glad to have another opportunity. And that's going to be performing at the Luminary Arts Center September 29th through October 15th.
I did see that their original production back 2018, I think it was, and I'm excited to see it again. I love how they tell the story without words. It's just through the music and the dance, and they're going to have a live band for this show, which they stopped for a little while during the pandemic. So I'm glad to see live band and live singers return, telling the story that probably a lot of us know, but in a very different way.
Thank you to Jill Schaefer of Cherry and Spoon, Erica Scarlett of Lettered in Theater, Rob Dunkelberger of The Stages of Minnesota, and Julie Jackson of Minnesota Theater Love. On our podcast website, we do have show notes for every podcast that we do, and that has links to all the shows that we mentioned so that you can click right through and buy those tickets. Thank you for listening to Twin Cities Theater Chat. Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite platform, rate and review us, and spread the word. Follow the Twin Cities Theater bloggers on Facebook and Instagram to read our reviews and find out what we're up to, and go see a show.